think I've uncovered the real Advent conspiracy here. You see, there is a retail company in New York called Hamaka Schlemmer. And in recent times, they've been offering for sale on their website an upside-down Christmas tree. Stands 7 feet tall, pre-lit with over 800 commercial-grade lights, and it's been selling for $599.95 US. But here's the really interesting point. Why would anyone want an upside-down Christmas tree? Well, according to their website, the inverted shape makes it easier to see ornaments which hang away from the dense needles while allowing more room for the accumulation of presents underneath. Might I suggest to you the real Advent conspiracy here is a subliminal message being suggested to this congregation about the true meaning of Christmas. But the average Australian may actually need the extra room this year. According to the Australian National Retailers Association, which sends out a Christmas retail index each year, Aussie shoppers are on schedule to part with more than $29.6 billion during this festive season. The average spend is expected to reach $1,280 per person. And if previous experience is anything to go by, many people will go into debt in order to spend that money. It seems that our general disposition towards materialism is heightened at this time of year. Well, this week we are being encouraged to spend less this Christmas. That is, we're being encouraged to refuse to buy into this frenzy of greed that is going on around us. And if Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount applied any time, they certainly apply now. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. His point is clear. Material wealth in the here and now is transitory, it's unstable. Therefore, we're to put our effort into storing up heavenly reward, which is attained through a life of devotion to God and his kingdom. But the devil is in the details, isn't it? How do I really know if I'm following Jesus here? Is he saying that we shouldn't have any earthly possessions beyond the bare necessities? Should we refrain from spending anything this Christmas? And I found this helpful quote by Don Carson where he said, "I do not think that Jesus is condemning all wealth. He's not prohibiting things, but the love of things. Not money, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, as we just heard from 1 Timothy. For the things we treasure actually govern our lives. What we value tugs at our minds and emotions. It consumes our time with planning, with daydreaming and effort to achieve. We think about our treasures. We are drawn towards our treasures. We fret about our treasures. We measure other things and other people by our treasures. This is so painfully true that a person who honestly examines himself can pretty well discover what his real treasures are simply by studying his deepest desires." I can remember as a boy looking forward to Christmas in much the same way that I look forward to my birthday. Because these were the two opportunities each year when my material fantasies might become reality. I remember one Christmas, sometime in the late 80s, hoping that I might get a Walkman, specifically a fluorescent coloured boombox. And for those of you who don't know what a Walkman is, it was a portable, not quite pocket-sized cassette player manufactured by Sony. It was the venerable forerunner to the Discman before the iPod came along and ruined all the fun. Well, you see, you can't hear the batteries going flat anymore. If anyone remembers those old cassette Walkmans, I used to listen to my older sister's 80s Christian rock tapes. Petra? White Heart? It was an apocalyptic experience when the batteries went dead. But this particular Christmas, I took the wrapping off the box and I could not believe my eyes. There it was, a Walkman. Or at least that's what the picture suggested. I opened it up to find all I'd been given was a pair of headphones. To this day, I don't know why they needed to sell headphones in a Walkman-sized box with a picture of a Walkman on the front. And I felt really badly let down. I had to console myself by plugging the headphones into our bulky tape player and closing my eyes. But the point is that the big story for me that Christmas was about material possessions. It was about some earthly treasure that I badly wanted. And of course, I was only a boy. But if that $30 billion figure I quoted above is anywhere near the ballpark, the minds of most Australians are on earthly things at this time of year. So let's now turn the question to how we ought to approach the silly season. And first of all, at risk of being a bit of a, a Presbyterian, because I used to go to a Presbyterian church, you're going to understand this as I get going. I think it's worth reminding ourselves occasionally that the celebration of Christmas is merely a human tradition. It's not something that's been commanded by God, and it's not necessary to Christian discipleship. You see, that quietened you down, didn't it? Well, you see, every year, Australian Christians, we go through this ritual of looking forward to Christmas while self-flagellating because of our materialism and how easily we are distracted from the true meaning of Christmas. There's actually a bit of false guilt involved here. Not the guilt over materialism or greed, I mean, we just heard Jesus' words on that subject, but this guilt over the idea that we're corrupting Christmas. We don't have to do that to ourselves. We choose to do it to ourselves. Christmas is a human tradition, not a divine institution. It might be a nice tradition, but that's what it is. And the Bible teaches that the observance of days is a matter of individual conscience before God. You can read Romans 14 for more on that. So make your own decision. Are you going to get involved in Christmas this year or any year? That's up to you. But if you are going to get into it, my advice is to try to ensure that the things you do actually serve the goal of the season, to celebrate the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. And so finally, how can we make our expenditure a reflection of what we are celebrating? I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, which describes the incarnation, and I'm going to draw out briefly three implications. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, three things. First, generosity. God gave nothing less than his Son. So in our expressions of goodwill and charity at Christmas, we ought to be generous. C.S. Lewis writes these provocative words on Christian charity. I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we're probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot, because our charitable expenditure excludes them. That's from his book Mere Christianity. God did not spare his son, but gave him for us. Surely then there should not be a hint of greed among us as Christians, any time of the year, and not at Christmas, but great generosity to others. Second, humble service. As Paul wrote in Philippians, Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant and was born in the likeness of human flesh. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. Jesus lowered his status in order to hold his great power in service of others. That's humility. It's not self-annihilation, it's self-denial for the sake of service. He didn't empty himself of his divine nature, but he humbled himself in order to use that very nature to serve us. And we would do well in the way that we spend our money at Christmas to make decisions that may cost us something in social status so that we can enrich the lives of others. Third, mercy and grace. Jesus' death on the cross was a death in service to undeserving humanity. He died to save us from sin and death and eternal punishment. He died to save us to righteousness, life, and eternal paradise with God. And we would do well then to use our money at Christmas to reflect mercy and grace. Give without expecting gifts in return. Give to those who may not deserve it. Just this last week, the world has grieved at the passing of Nelson Mandela. And one of the things that has really captured the world's imagination about this man was his ability to forgive. Social justice is important. But had Nelson Mandela come out of prison with nothing other than justice on his mind, South Africa would be a riven nation. Now, Nelson Mandela decided to express and to model forgiveness to the undeserving. And for that, he is lauded around the world and remembered. Justice is important. Mercy is equally important. And so our expenditure ought not just to be to those who deserve it or those who have merited it. And if you choose to give in these three ways, tell your kids, tell your family what you're doing. Say, I give generously because God gave his only son. I give in such a way that lowers my status to enrich others because the Son of God took on humble human flesh to serve us. I give to those who may not deserve anything because God gave me a salvation I don't deserve. That would be a way to ensure that our expenditure at Christmas reflects what we're actually celebrating at Christmas. And more than that, it actually brings our use of money in line with Christian discipleship, which is of far greater importance all year round than the celebration of Christmas itself. Amen.